We've been talking about the Bible, several lessons on Thursday night. We're talking about living by the book. I hope that this year, for you, is a year where you get into your Bible more and make the Bible more a part of your life, not just something that we carry in church, but something that is a vital, important part of our life, really everything in our life. With the verse we read every week from Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, in answer to the devil's, one of the devil's temptations, but he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And we need all the words of the Bible. We need the Bible to be a part of our life. One of the big problems we have today as Christians, as God's people, is really, bottom line concept is, most Christians don't know anything about God's Word. They don't know anything about God's truth. We claim to love the Bible. We claim to stand for the Bible. We claim to know everything about the Bible, and that we base everything in our life on the Bible, but so few of us really know much about the Bible. And if the Bible is supposed to be that important to us, it's vital that we get into it, and we understand it, and we know the truth.
Yes, sir.
God wants us to know the truth. I remember when I was in Bible college, we were working at I was working at overnight trucking, loading trucks, and a new freshman student was in there, and we were in the break room talking, and one of the guys had he was a new Christian. I don't even know how he got in college, to be honest with you, but he thought Ezra was one of the apostles' wives. One of the guys that told him that, he just believed it. And I'm laughing, you don't understand. Ezra is not one of the apostles' wives, okay? But he thought that was true. I'm like, man, you're studying for the ministry. You might want to know what the Bible says a little bit here, buddy. But that's why he was in Bible college. But we don't know the Bible. Look at Hosea 4:6. God, speaking of his children, Israel, said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They just don't know it. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest unto me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forgive thy children." One of the reasons that caused them a lot of trouble was there was a lack of knowledge of God's word among the Israelites. Now, the key problem here, as he mentioned, was that primarily the priests, they didn't have a lot of copies of the scriptures readily available to them. And those that should be giving them the truth were not giving them the truth. By the way, it sounds a lot like today. We are substituting everything we can for the truth of God. Churches are just coming up with all kinds of stuff instead of just getting back to what God's Word says. We need God's Word. Most Christians, if we're ignorant of God's Word, it's because we are willingly ignorant. There's no need for us to be ignorant. In our country, Bibles are abundant.
Yes, sir.
You can have a paper copy. You can have an internet copy. If you have an iPad, you can have an iPad copy. If you have a phone, most of you have a smartphone, you can have a copy on your phone. We have it everywhere. There are countries where they would love to have more scriptures. There are countries they would just love to have one copy of the scripture in their native tongue. And yet we have an abundance of God's word, and yet we're still ignorant, and it's because we're willingly ignorant. Benjamin Franklin said, "We are all born ignorant, but one must work hard to remain stupid." I'm surprised he said the word stupid. His mom probably didn't get on him for that. He also said, "Being ignorant is not so much a shame as being unwilling to learn." God wants us to know his truth. God wants us to learn his truth. Now, we live in a time when it's getting worse, when people don't want to hear the truth. Our society covers it up. Christians are unloving. Blah, blah, blah. Anything that has to do with anything that's right is misrepresented. It was probably about 7 or 8 years ago, our council member in this area used to be Laura Richardson. I remember her. She lived, actually, I knew exactly where she lived. I knocked on her door one time, so it's like, if you mess with me, I know where you live, lady. But she called some of the churches together and said, You know, the city of Long Beach is going to vote to be against President Bush's proposal to make official that marriage is between a man and a woman. And this is back when President Bush was still in office, and so our city council thought that they would stand up and tell the president there's going to be a resolution that our city is against that. So she told us in a meeting, she said, just want to let you guys know, because this is going to happen Tuesday, and I don't want you to be mad at me when you find out about it on Wednesday. Well, it backfired on her. There was several pastors from the area there, and were like, we're going to show up at the council meeting. And she's like, what? She started getting nervous. It's like, that's okay, we'll take care of it from here. And how many of you went there that night? By the way, the council meeting, there's usually that one guy that argues about everything. And the place was packed. I mean, it was packed. And it was 95% Christians that were going to stand up and voice their opinion. But you remember, one of the council, they all decided they felt led to speak that night. And one of the council, I think it was one of the ladies, got up and called our beliefs superstitions. Like, really? Laura Richardson, you can see her sweat bullet. She was the one that got us all there. And she got up and said, like, well, you know, I'm a believer too, but I don't vote the way God tells me to vote. She said it in a different tone. I'm like, really? Really? Okay. We're taking notes. The newspaper came out. The newspaper said there was about, 75 people there to protest it. Now, I don't know where they got that number from. That chamber was full. And they had an overflow of several hundred. Okay? But when it comes to things that are right and truthful, people just don't want to hear it.
Right.
And if you get up and try to explain it to them, it's like, they can't argue with the truth. So what do? You try to silence it. And that's the society we live in. But as a believer, we shouldn't be like that. We ought to want to know the truth. Now, we're going to look at James tonight. Look at the verses here. Because God does want us to hear the truth and know it, but he also wants us to obey it. It starts with learning it, but it's complete when we obey it. We're going to look at James chapter 1. You see the verses that are on your sheet there. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
Yeah.
For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Right.
Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only,
Amen.
Deceiving your own selves.
Amen.
For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face, his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, what does God want us to do here if we put these verses all together? God wants us to hear what his word says so that we can go out and obey it and put it into practice in our lives.
Amen.
Now, there's two steps to that. Look at your paper. Number one, it starts with listening to the truth. Listening. We can't obey that which we do not know. But by the way, let me say this, on the other hand, you are responsible for God's truth whether you know it or not.
Amen.
Willful ignorance does not absolve you of your responsibility to do what God says. Why didn't God say that? He's given us a Bible to find that out. God wants us to know his truth, so we have to hear God's truth. Several ways you can do that. Of course, one of the primary ways that we understand and get to hear God's truth is as we read it each and every day. And I hope that you are on that path. I hope that you are nailing that down in your life, that you're not just, you know, a churchian, you're a Christian. A Christian that wants to know God, and we know God by learning about God, and we learn about God when we get in his word.
Amen.
So that needs to be nailed down in our life, and I would hope that you are doing that. Daily Bible reading. Get yourself a schedule or follow the church schedule and be faithful to you.
Amen.
And be a blessing to you. Also, you can hear it taught. And I appreciate you. Many of you come to church on a Thursday night. You come straight from work. You got things going on. Children have school tomorrow. You got work tomorrow. It is nice. It is Friday tomorrow. That's nice. But you came here because hopefully you wanted to learn something from the scriptures and learn something from God. So church attendance. We do our four to flourish. I would need to talk to you about that. That'd be preaching the choir. You're here. And appreciate that. And also, you know, we can hear it online, and we can read books about the Bible and study it many other ways. But God's word is right there for us. God wants us to hear his word. Now, look at letter 8 there. We do have, if we're not careful, there can be some hindrances to listening to God's word. These verses what do these verses mean, the first ones? Well, it's all tied into being a doer of the word and not a hearer. What are some of the hindrances? Look at the first little bullet underneath there. Our eagerness to hear. He says, let every man be what? Swift to hear. Once you get out of God's word, once you get out of anybody getting up and sharing God's word, depends on your desire to get something out of it. Okay? Desire. Are you eager to get something from God's word? The word swift means right away. Let every man be swift, or right away, desiring to hear. When we're at church, do we have a desire to hear something from God, or are we just here because we're fulfilling some kind of spiritual duty? And we don't want to just fulfill spiritual duty. It's not a checkoff list. Like, okay, you know, let me see. Now we did, I can't take it back. We did give you a checkoff list for Fort Flores, didn't we? But it's not a checkoff list. It's a circle list. There's a big difference there. That's just to encourage you. But I hope you don't just do it so you can, you know, by the way, you said, what happens if I fill that out completely this year and I bring it back to church? Nothing. You don't get a gift card. You get nothing. Rewards in heaven, maybe, all right? But you know what I mean? You ought to, I'm coming because I want to learn something. I want to be encouraged by God's word. I want to hear something from God's truth for my life. That's an eagerness to hear. When you get down and read your Bible, is it just like you pull your again, we want you to check it off. That's why we gave it to you, okay? But it's not just to check it off. It's to track your progress. It's to help you to stay on target. And you get it out there, it's like, here's the three chapters I have to read today. Now I hope when you're reading those three chapters, you're saying, God, give me something out of those three chapters. Okay, as I mentioned already, our family, what we're doing this year, I got everybody a little journal. I don't like the word journal, that sounds feminine. The girls can have a journal. For us, it's a walk with God walk. Okay, it's a walk with God. Track our progress. How many miles did we make today? Girls, they write their thoughts. You know, they got the Care Bear Bible, I don't know. But got that for the family. I want them when they read to write down in there, what did I learn from God's word today? What did God speak to me about truth? Just if you look in there, God will give you something. But there has to be an eagerness. Look at 1 Thessalonians. It says, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now they were writing, of course they're writing scripture, but he said when you hear the words, you didn't just receive it as just words from somebody, you received it as the word of God, and you took earnest heed to it, you're listening to it, you're trying to get something out of it. What is your eagerness to hear God's word? What is your eagerness to learn what God really has for you? If we're not eager, if we don't have a willing, if we're not swift to hear, we're not going to get anything out of it. You ever talk to somebody and they don't pay attention to you? Okay, let's go here. Let's do this. How many of you are married? See? You all? Okay? I've talked to my wife before and she just zones out. I'd say, you know, we're driving the car, going date night or whatever, I'm talking. It's like I tell her she's in all the land. She's thinking about something else going on, and I'm like, she's not listening right now. Now, years ago, she wasn't listening, and I said, by the way, I forgot to tell you, I'm pregnant. Oh, yeah, that's great, thanks. She's not listening. And by the way, I've been guilty of that too. right? You know, they're, she's talking, it's like, okay, I love you, trying to listen here. Can we get to the point? You know, I don't care what color the dog was, did he get hit by the car or not? But we zone out. By the way, how many of you ever read the Bible and you get done with the page and it's like, what did I just read? By the way, you won't think about anything, but as soon as you crack the Bible open, all of a sudden all these nondescript thoughts start coming your way. What I have to do today, what's going on here? And you're listening, it's like, stop. I just read a paragraph in the Bible and I'm thinking about grocery shopping.
Oh my soul.
Well, groceries are important. But so we have to fight it. Be eager. Let's get in it.
Yeah.
Also, here's another thing that hurts us when it comes to hearing God's truth. We express our thoughts.
Yes, sir.
Slow to speak.
Yes, sir.
Be quick to hear, but be slow to speak. See, we always want to tell what we think.
Come on now.
And we're more concerned about what's going on in our life. That, by the way, that's our society, isn't it? Talk shows. You know, how do you feel about this? You know, I just feel bad. You know, if they want to be like that, that's just how I feel. Well, I feel the opposite, okay? And I'm glad you feel that way, but the bottom line is, what does God say? What does God say? Well, thank you, I will. Talk shows. Did you have coffee tonight, Joel? You're on it, baby. I don't know what you're drinking, but I'm like a gallon. Talk shows. All the nonsense.
Yeah.
By the way, if what you think is the same as what God thinks, go with it.
Come on.
But if what you think is the opposite of what God thinks, chuck your ideas and move on with your life. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near.
Amen.
Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he abundantly pardoned. Now listen, this is important. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, I'm glad that God's thoughts are like so much higher than my thoughts. I don't want a God that I can figure out.
Yes.
Oh, explain the Trinity. It's complicated.
Come on.
Now, you get the gist of it, but, you know, God's ways. Well, what is God doing in this situation? Here's what he's doing. Whatever he wants.
Amen.
And I know it's going to work out for his good.
Amen.
Well, how do you know it's going to work out for his good? It doesn't seem like it. You're right, it doesn't seem like it. But the Bible does say that it does seem like it to happen in that way.
Right.
So we express... Well, thank you, Joel. I appreciate it. We express our thoughts. The last thing is this. We have excessive anger.
Oh,
so what's that? Slow to wrath. Why? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, anger never leads you to do something that's good. People usually do things that are wrong when they get angry. It's probably why God had to tell us, be angry and sin not. Now, we like the first part of the verse, be angry.
Yeah.
But there's always a catch. And sin not. Takes the fun out of it. But we have to be careful. Because, excuse me, if you look at Proverbs, anger is a sign of a lack of self-control.
Come on.
And if we lack self-control, we're going to have issues of being able to do what God's word is going to tell us to do.
Yes, sir.
Okay, anger. Excessive anger. Proverbs tells us we shouldn't even hang around with an angry man. Why? Because we learn his way. So those are some things that will hinder us from listening to the truth. Now, what are some hopes to help us to get the truth? Look at verse 21. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The word saved there means salvage. Not saved in salvation as in salvation. Saved as in salvage. It's able to work in our lives. It's able to change us. To salvage something, you take something that was of little value, something that was flawed, something that had issues, and now it's been transformed, it's been changed, it's been salvaged, and now it's useful. Well, the Bible does that for us. Look at some of the things I put there in the preparation. Okay? He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. Filthiness is a word they would have used of having dirt in our ears, having a wax build up in our ears, things that would keep us from being able to hear. What is God saying? There are things in our life, if we're not careful, if we don't clean them out, they really choke us out from hearing what God's word has for us. Okay? The way we live will have a lot to do with what we do with God's word. And so we need to work on that. Souffleri of naughtiness, that talks about an overflowing of wickedness. It's a word they would use, souffleri, like overflowing. Weeds taking over a garden. If you're planting a garden, or you're planting anything, you want to prepare the soil, get all the thorns, get all the weeds, get all the nonsense out so that the plant can take root and it can grow and germinate. And that's God's word. We want God's word to be in our life, and we want it to bear witness, and we want it to bear fruit. But what happens? If there's things in our life that are wrong, it cuts us off.
Amen.
And it keeps us from hearing God's word.
Yes, sir.
We have to be removing things in our heart. You remember the story of Matthew 13, Christ's parable of the sower and the seed in the heart. There was four different hearts. They sowed the seed. The effectiveness of the seed, which was the word of God in someone's heart, had to do with the soil of the heart. What kind of soil? What kind of condition was the heart in? You ever hear someone, they'll excuse the way they're living and say that it's not what's on the outside that counts. It's what's on the inside. How many of you ever heard that? You know, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Now, let me explain something. He's not using that to excuse. By the way, so if I'm a righteous and inside, and everything is working, God's working on me on the inside, you're not going to be able to see it on the outside?
Come on.
Is that what they're saying? Okay, now, I get it. There's some people that are good on the outside, but on the inside, there's nothing going on. Those are hypocrites. But God's word needs a soil to be receptive. And if there's things in our life, we need to clear it out. Okay? When I came to church as a new Christian, I mean, I'm going to get into this thing. I started reading my Bible. There was all kinds of stuff in my life that needed to be weeded out. But you know what? God pointed those things out. And as God pointed some of those things out, I started dealing with them. Why? Because I realized if I did not deal with them, they would be a hindrance to God's word taking root in my heart. And so I had to clean it out. So that's the preparation. There's also a plan. He says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. What is the plan? The plan is to welcome God's word. We have to want God's word to make a difference in our life.
Right.
We can't be shut up to it. Yeah, well, I've arrived to where I want to be. Nobody's there yet.
Right. Amen.
Okay, by the way, you say, well, I read my Bible and God never speaks to me out of it. There's some issues there. Maybe you've ignored God for so long you can't hear him.
There you go.
Maybe there's you have some sin in your life you need to deal with that's blocking God's communication. You want to receive it. Welcome God's word. Submit yourself to God's word. We like when we talk about submissions. Wife, submit yourself to your husband.
Amen.
Yeah, that's about how it usually goes over too. Thanks, Robert. We have one guy that had the guts to say it. Usually the single guys say amen. Anyhow. God wants us to submit to his word. We submit to God. How do we submit to God? Do what he says. And it's in his word. So, plan. Also, there's the process. What's the process? Receive with meekness the engrafted word. I've mentioned this before in church, but engrafting is taking something, in the illustration is of a branch, from one tree, and you engraft it onto a different tree. Years ago, my sister-in-law used to do this, living up on the farm, and they would take a branch from one tree, I don't know the reason why, maybe they're trying to produce a different type of fruit, and somehow they would connect it to another tree in such a way that as it grew, it would become a part of that tree. So something which was once for that tree is now connected to it, and it's a part of it. You could use the word assimilated. What do we want with God's Word? We want God's Word to be engrafted into our life. We want, as we hear it sometimes and it sounds foreign to us, it's something God wants to be a part of our life. We make it a part of our life, and now it just becomes a part of who we are. If you've grown at all in your Christian faith, there are things in your life you could look back on before you were a Christian, and you thought, man, if I was going to be doing that, if you thought you were going to be that, you would have said, no way. Anybody like that?
Yeah.
I would never have thought Robert would be in church. I never thought I would be in church.
Yeah. Amen.
Or read my Bible. I remember my friends come by the house, and I mentioned on Sunday, like they came on a Friday night, what are you doing tonight? Man, we haven't seen you for a few weeks, because on Friday night, we used to go to Robert's house. But we used to go out. And they're like, by the way, we didn't study the Bible at Robert's house, okay? We did eat pizza occasionally. But they said, man, we haven't seen you for a few weeks. What are you doing? And I'm like, you want me to be honest? I was actually in my back room reading the Bible. And they're like, what? Like, yeah, I was reading my Bible. Like, oh, okay. That's good. They had to go real soon. We got places to go. That was so foreign to my life, but now it's just a part of who we are.
That's right.
That's the Word of God engrafting in our life. All the truths of God's Word become a part of our life. And then we see the potential. It can salvage us.
Amen.
It makes us useful in God's eyes. It changes and transforms our life and makes us anew. But we have to hear God's Word. So we talk about hearing God's Word. Look at number two. This time is starting to get away. Living out God's truth. Really, and maybe this is a harsh way to put it, but without living God's Word, listening serves no profit or little profit. Now, who am I to butt heads with something, but I used to hear a pastor years ago, and he would say that, it doesn't matter if someone comes and hears God's Word, they don't live it. I wasn't encouraged them not to, but he was using the analogy. If they come and hear God's Word and they don't retain or use any of it, he goes, it's like a strainer. The water goes through the strainer. The strainer doesn't retain any of the water, but the strainer's cleaner than it used to be. Now, I don't believe that. God doesn't want us just to come to hear it, so as soon as we leave, we forget it.
Come on.
And we're not cleaner. We're only cleaner as we apply it to our life.
There you go.
That's what God wants. So, he wants us to live his Word. Look at several things underneath this. Look at letter A. Look at the deception that can happen. The deception. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only. And if we're hearers only, he describes it. What are we doing? Deceiving your own selves. All we do is come to church, hear God's Word, walk out, it has little or no effect on our life, we're deceiving ourselves.
Right.
We think, I'm okay, I go to church. By the way, I know all kinds of things people that go to church have gotten involved in their lives. It's called living God's Word. Don't deceive ourselves into thinking we're okay just because we heard something. God wants us to do something with that which we hear. Okay? Not just hear it so we can memorize it. I got those memorized. This. Well, what does it mean to you? I don't know, but I got a memory. Well, what does it mean? You give someone a command. If you give your parent, you ask your child to do something, you don't want them to memorize the command. You want them to do what you ask them to do. Okay? Did you do it? I can tell you what you said. That's great. I can tell you what time you said it. Dad 5-7. Take the trash out. You said it at 12:15. Well, I don't care at 12:15 what time I said it. What time did you actually take it out? Because if you could sit there and tell me, by the way, in the Hebrew, the word dad means papa. One who brings forth a son. Thank you. That is helpful. But I still smell the trash. Take it out. We think we're okay because we hear it and we're doing nothing but deceiving ourselves. The word hearer is a word they would use, like we would use our word auditor. In college, you take classes, you take them for credit, you pay for them, you take the test, you're responsible for material, and you have to pass it. An auditor just comes into the class, and all they do is what? Listen. It's cheaper. You're not testing over the material. You just go there and listen, drink coffee. When they're taking a test, you go outside and drink more coffee. You're not responsible for any material. We don't want people to come to church to be auditors.
Come on.
We want to come to church. Why? We want to hear from God.
Yeah.
And we want to know what God says and try to put it into practice in our lives. We're not okay just because we're heard it. Just because we've heard it. And I don't care how much a person says they love God. I don't care how much they say they're close to God. What does their life say?
Come on.
Our life speaks a lot higher, a lot louder than our words do. Okay? And so we need to watch that. Let's not deceive ourselves. Then we see the distortion. The distortion. Verse 23 and 24. But if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Think of it, like seeing yourself in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, he sees himself, and then he goes his way. And straightforth forgetteth what manner of man he was. What do I mean? We're distorted in that when we come face to face with God's word, we see who we really are. We see what really needs to be fixed in our life. And then when we walk away from it, we forget everything we've heard. I heard a preacher say one time that he calls the doors that lead out from the auditorium, he calls them erasers. He goes, yeah, people go out the door through the erasers. And another preacher was there. He goes, why do you call them erasers? He goes, well, because it seems to me after every service, as people walk out those doors, everything they heard was erased from their mind. Isn't that how it is sometimes? That's why when we have an altar call, we come down, we're trying to think about what God said in our life, and what God maybe wants us to adjust or reinforce in our life. But as soon as we get outside, we forget everything God spoke to us. And we sit at home and we have our Bible open and we learn some truth from God's word, but as soon as we close it up and we walk out away and we start getting into our day, we forget what God said to us. We don't want to be like that. When you get ready for church, you go and you look in the mirror. Am I ready? And then you look at your hair and say, wow, it's out of place. I got to get it fixed. By the way, I don't have that problem. I look in the mirror and say, spot on, let's go. Okay? Not an issue. Both of my hairs are in place. We're ready to go. But no lady would go look and say, man, my hair's all cattywampus and it's all sideways. I got to take care of that. And then as soon as you walk away, you forget about it and go out in public and your hair is messed up. Although that's kind of the style nowadays, isn't it? In California, you don't have to comb your hair. It goes sideways, it can go backwards. And what's wrong with your hair? New style, man. It's a new style. This is how it is. It's like, what you really mean is you forgot your comb. But that's how we are. But no one would look in the mirror and say, hey, that needs to be dealt with, and then walk away and forget about it. But we do that with God's word all the time. And we're distorting what really needs to be fixed. The letter C is, when we live out God's truth, there's a difference. Look at the difference. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's the person that looks into God's word. He hears God's word. There's something that needs to be enforced. There's something that needs to be adjusted. God spoke to you about something, and you're like, I am going to take care of that in my life. And then you go out, and God blesses you for that effort. How does that work? Look at some of the L's we have. We're looking. First of all, you have to look. Whoso looketh into the law of liberty. That means a meaningful glance, just not a quick look. I mean, you look at it, your intent, your meaningful. It's meaning. You're trying to get something out of it. We talked about that. Then we see also the liberty. It's funny. He calls the Bible or the commands the law of liberty. Now think about it. That would be what? An oxymoron. Law, liberty. Because our thinking is skewed. That's why people are, I'm saved and I have liberty in Christ to do whatever I want. No, you don't.
Come on.
Right. Now, you have liberty in Christ to be disobedient and to suffer all the consequences of that. I guess that would be true. But if you mean by I have liberty to do what I want, be disobedient, and God's okay with it, no, the Bible doesn't say that. You know where liberty comes? See, we think of law as restrictive. The Bible's a book of restrictions. No, it isn't. It's a book that teaches us how to live in liberty. Because when we violate his laws, we sin. And Jesus said, whosoever sins is the servant of sin. Bond slave. When you sin, you are literally, you're enslaving yourself to that sin. Sin, disobeying God's law, does not bring liberty. Liberty comes when we are within the confines of God's law.
Yes, sir.
Not the other way around. You say, I want freedom in Christ. Do what he says. Because he's trying to keep us from those things that would restrict our lives. The Bible is not a book of restrictions, it's a book of liberty. Look at the verses here. Psalm 119. And I will walk at liberty. Why? For I seek thy precepts. We think freedom is doing whatever we want. Doing whatever you want and living the way you want is the strictest form of bondage. There is no liberty in that at all. John 8, verse 31 and 34. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How are we made free? When we follow God's truth. They answered him, we are Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Sin is binding. God deals with you in his word about something that needs to be dealt with, and you go out and you do not do it, you are just enslaving yourself to sin and its consequences. There's no freedom there at all. Freedom comes when you listen to what God says. We also see there's longevity and continuing therein. It's not a one-time thing. You say, man, I've been going to church for a really long time. 33 years. 33 years. Jerry was 80 when I started going. 33 years ago. Man, when I first went to church, it's like I was so excited. I'm glad you get up and say, turn to the book of Joel. Joel, there's a book named Yes. Never heard a sermon on the book of Joel. Turn to this scripture. I'm like, that's great. Now it's like someone gets up and says, turn to this book of the Bible. I'm like, I've heard a sermon there. I've read it a couple hundred times, I'm sure. I know. I've been there, done that. Can I tell you something? There's something in all of it.
Yeah.
You read that thing 100 times and you'll get something 101st time you didn't get the first 100 times.
Right.
Okay? It can't be some short term. You know, I tried that church stuff and it didn't work for me. Come on. You don't try it. You want to try it? I'll tell you what. Let's give it a test run. Get started in your Bibles. Come see me in 20 years and let's talk. You might just start scratching the surface.
Come on.
Okay? Yeah, maybe. There's a lot there. It's longevity. Make it a way of life. The Bible and learning God's Word and reading. It's a way of life. Longevity. And then lingering. Being not a forgetful hearer. We're thinking about what God said to us. It's in our minds. It's not just getting in there, rattling around, and rolling out at night when we're sleeping. It stays in there. And then he talks about labor. But a doer of the work. You say, man, work? You got to work at it. Why? Because whenever we try to put the Bible in motion in our lives, you've got some enemies. The world is our enemy. You're going to hear it. You're going to go to work. Someone's going to say, who are you, Holy Joe? By the way, I'll tell you what. Take your Bible to work and see what happens. You know, I met a guy when we were working it. And so, you sissy, you have to carry that Bible? And the guy put the Bible in his chest and said, let's see how tough you are, you carry it. The guy's like, all right, anything to do with it. I remember in high school, I was in 10th grade. Pastor Esposito was in 12th grade. He got right with God between 11th and 12th grade. I didn't. And he'd bring his Bible to metal shop class. We were in metal shop class together, and there it was. Man, I walked around that thing. But, you know. seriously. He was such a bad influence. It was horrible. I didn't say it, but I thought it. What's that all about? Bring your Bible to a metal shop class, man. Someone's going to weld that thing shut. But you know what? It's not easy sometimes.
Right.
The world will fight you. Your flesh will fight you.
Yes, sir.
Come on. You're too tired to crack it open today.
Yes, sir.
Let's stay home. Let's not do it. You know, come on. You got to fight it. Then, of course, Satan's going to fight you. And then the last thing is this. The legacy. That man shall be blessed. Oh, wait a minute. The last three words. In is deep. Where is the blessing from the Bible? The Bible is a blessing. Not if we're seeking to live it. If we're not seeking to live it. Not if we're seeking to make it a part. If we're not trying to make a Bible a part of our lives, there's no blessing. You know where the blessing comes? The blessing comes in obedience.
Amen.
We're blessed in our deeds. As we go out and we start living the Bible and we start making it a part of who we are, making it a part of our life, what happens? God blesses us. Why? Because there's blessings from the obedience to God's word. That's just the reward. Let's pray.